Well, my good friend and neighbor, Phil Nee, hoping you have a great day. Stay dry and keep it tuned right here at WRCO-FM in Richland Center, Wisconsin. The news is next, followed by Community Conversation on The Morning Show. News this hour is sponsored by Pamela's Fine Jewelry, enhancing the relationships with those you love. The Phoenix Center, family fun at its best. There's always something for everyone, including bowling, legendary pizza, and video games. 3/100ths of an inch of rain so far, it's 51 degrees.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The body of Pope Francis brought to St. Peter's Basilica this morning in a solemn ceremony. He will lie in state there for 3 days until his funeral on Saturday.
What comes next after Saturday's funeral and burial? The conclave, that ancient process, all the cardinals gathering in the Sistine Chapel, sworn to secrecy to choose the next pope. No date for that has been set yet. Vatican rules say it should be 15 to 20 days after the death of a pope.
ABC's Terry Moran at the Vatican. Evacuation orders have been lifted for thousands who were told to leave their homes because of a fast-moving wildfire along the Jersey Shore. The busy Garden State Parkway in New Jersey shut down because of smoke. The fire about 10% contained. An earthquake with a preliminary magnitude of 6.2 shook Istanbul, Turkey today, leading people to rush out of homes and buildings in a panic. Despite some strong aftershocks, no reports of damage or injury. Stock futures pointing toward a higher open this morning. This is ABC News. There was an earthquake in Turkey today. It was a magnitude 6.2 and could be felt in Istanbul. There are, however, no reports of major damage or any injuries. It's hard to believe, but the first video was posted on YouTube on this day 20 years ago. Here's ABC's Mike Debusky.
YouTube launched in 2005, originally as an online dating service, but soon its creators found people were using the site's video upload technology for all kinds of things and spun that into its own service. YouTube has since spawned countless viral moments.
Charlie bit me.
The first person to reach 1 million subscribers on the platform was Fred Figglehorn.
Hey, Fred!
Today, the account with the most subscribers, 386 million of them, is Mr. Beast.
I have built the most deadly awesome.
Mike Debusky, ABC News.
Prince Louis, youngest child of Prince William and Princess Kate, turned 7 years old today. Kensington Palace putting out a picture of him, missing his two front teeth. I'm Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Good morning. This is Pamela at Pamela's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Spring Green. Diamonds, diamonds, and more diamonds are on sale through the end of April. Great time to buy at a savings for birthdays, Mother's Days, graduation, or that beautiful engagement ring at Pamela's in beautiful downtown Spring Green.
You work hard. Making the right choice for lunch isn't hard. The Phoenix Center opens at 11 Monday through Sunday with all your lunchtime favorites. Burgers, salads, terrific appetizers, specialty sandwiches, wraps, and more. Easy in, easy out. The Phoenix Center is the perfect way to break up the day. Can't get away for lunch? Let the team at the Phoenix Center serve you a great meal tonight, including the world-famous Phoenix Center Pizza. Call ahead at 649-7469 for carryout from the Phoenix Center in Richland Center.
WRCO Hometown Weather Watch is sponsored by the Schultz Mortgage Team. Call 608-738-8765. Learn how you can own a home without needing 20% down.
A high temperature in the low 70s today, a 50% chance of spotty showers and thunderstorms. South to southwest winds at 4 to 8 miles per hour. Tonight, passing clouds along with isolated showers, a low of 48. Variable clouds Thursday and a high near 70. A few brief showers are possible. Showers likely Thursday night, a low of 47, and rain likely through midday Friday, then drying up and a high of 58 degrees.
Energy efficiency and lower utility bills. ¿Quiere ahorrar en sus facturas de energía? Looking to save money on energy bills? Neighborhood Housing Services of Southwest Wisconsin offers energy efficiency programs to help homeowners cut costs while making their homes more comfortable. Lower your utility bills and reduce your carbon footprint with our expert solutions. Call 608-647-4949 to learn more.
Feeling better is about feeling all kinds of things. You want to feel healthy, sure, but you also want to feel heard and understood, valued, even, well, loved. That's what we want too. We're Amplify Health, and we think the best way to care for someone is to care about them. That's why all our treatments include a little empathy. Welcome to healthcare that's all about caring. Welcome to Amplify Health by Gunderson. A little empathy changes everything.
Welcome to Eastside BP, your go-to convenience stop on Richland Center's East Side. Open every day from 5 a.m. to 10 p.m. Monday through Saturday, 6 to 10 on Sunday. Fuel up with quality BP fuels and grab delicious kitchen fresh sandwiches, pizza, donuts, cookies, and muffins. Need groceries? They've got you covered with milk, pop, bread, buns, chips, and more. And don't forget to treat your vehicle to the touch-free automatic car wash. Eastside BP, Richland Center, your easy in, easy out convenience store. This part of the morning show today, we're talking about the upcoming Sting Night, the Richland Center Boosters Sting Night, Hall of Fame, and College Signing Night. Coach Andrew Troxell's in the studio with us, and Kirk Layer as well. Here we go again, Kirk. Another year, and we're honoring some more deserving people.
It's a special night for us. Sting Night was started quite a few years ago now. It's like we're in our fifth or sixth year. We had COVID in there, so we missed a year. But it was started out as a brainchild of where we set an event up at the White House there, and it's grown ever since. This is going to be our second year that we're going to be at the Phoenix Center on the 26th, this Saturday. We're excited about it. It's our biggest fundraiser of the year. We've added in the Hall of Fame, which I kind of advocated for that myself. The Hall of Fame was kind of always just done during like a halftime of a basketball game or between wrestling matches and stuff. The Hall of Fame for wrestling now is done between rounds at the RC Invitational, and that's improved attendance there quite a bit. And then now we've added things like the signing night, you know, last year. And it's always great when you can sit down and honor athletes from the past, or now even some other things that we've done as far as supporters and coaches and even contributors, you know. And we're going to be talking about all of those type of people this morning that are going to get in the group this year.
I know that you have a great group going in, and do you keep them from year to year if somebody nominated somebody and maybe they're not on the list this year?
We've got a very good, what you would call resume there, you know, that has been added. I know you've been involved with Hall of Fame groups before, and a lot of people ask, well, how did that person get in, or why isn't this person in? A lot of it comes down to you got to make sure you nominate people, you know, and so that's helped in the last few years. We've got is that we've been more visible, I would say. I wouldn't say more visible, but we've been asking for them and stuff. So we got a nice good pool there, and we tend not to. We kind of changed that. They used to be there for so many years, and then they would drop off. We tend now to just kind of leave them there, the applications. And, you know, one group over another group looks at those individuals differently than maybe I or you would. And so I think it's a good idea we just leave them there. And if somebody down the line here in 5 or 6 years decides, well, that person should have been in long ago, that's fine with me.
Mm-hmm. Coach Troxell, as you look at this, this is, I think, a really cool thing because you got the current Hornets and you've got the past. I think it's important to kind of share the two, isn't it?
It is. We were talking a little bit earlier about how this is kind of a full circle moment, you know, that some of these guys that, and gals that are going into the Hall of Fame, we can celebrate their high school and their collegiate careers, but also we can see kind of the initial journey with a lot of these prep athletes that get the opportunity or have put themselves in the position to compete at the collegiate level. So this signing thing has been awesome. I know it's, I think, our fifth year doing it at Center. And it was just kind of born out of an idea that we really want to celebrate this, that it's a big deal with kids that are able to kind of take their talents to the next level, whether that be at the Division I level, you know, all the way to the Division III level, or even kind of a JUCO school as well. So we're super excited to see our kids year in and year out be able to kind of be recognized as potential contributors at the collegiate level. So this year's class is no different. A lot of really talented kids that are going to take their skills to college.
I've been at Richland Center a few times over the years when you've had the college signings, and a lot of times it's during the day. People work, or it's just after school or something. This kind of puts a light on these young athletes signing, doesn't it?
Yeah, we want to make it a really big deal, because it really is. You know, and in years past, we've just had kind of an isolated signing event, you know, and you had fans or family and friends that would show up, right, and support. But, I mean, now that we've partnered with the Booster Club, you know, there's a lot of pomp and circumstance that goes into it, you know, and you get fairly sizable crowds, you know, and it's just really exciting, right, to kind of see a kid's athletic career end this way, right, with a kind of a grand send-off, you know, before they go on to their final summer and then into school in the fall.
You as a coach appreciate what the sports boosters do at Richland Center, I'm sure.
Oh, without question. You know, I mean, I think the cost of athletics has just risen insurmountably, you know, especially for football. You know, I did the math last season, and I think every kid, it's about $1,200 to put them in equipment, you know, and now that we're kind of on the tail end of COVID, and that was kind of that hurt our participation numbers, right? We're seeing kind of improvement, right? More kids that are coming out and increased participation numbers. Well, that's expensive, you know? So for our program alone, I mean, the Booster Club was able to provide thousands of dollars, you know, to outfit kids with shoulder pads, with uniforms, right? You know, with any of these costs that, I mean, I just, fundraising that money is darn near impossible.
And they keep updating. I mean, the helmets have to be updated every so often, don't they?
Yeah, the average lifespan is about 10 years or so, you know, but we send in, you know, what we can every single year. And it's not a guarantee they come back in good shape. Some are rejected, you know, and so helmets are going to range anywhere from $400 to $550. You know, there's a lot of science and tech that goes into it. You know, shoulder pads are kind of getting to that level as well, where you're looking anywhere from $250 to $350 for those. So we want to make sure that our kids have the best equipment they can. You know, we want to make sure that they're safe when they compete, you know, and that comes with an added cost. And so the Booster Club has been awesome, making sure that we have what we need to put our kids in the best equipment that we can find.
Kirk, how does the Booster Club make money from this Saturday Sting Night then?
Well, the biggest way we make money this Saturday night, because it is, there is no entry or entrance fee or anything like that you have to pay to get in or anything. The biggest thing we have as far to this weekend is our silent auction that we do. And then we also have, which I think has worked kind of well too, last year especially, is we also have a $500 bucket raffle that goes on during the night. And that became very popular. And that's part of where the athletes really come in and get involved. We try to involve a lot of all the teams as far as athletes. They'll help throughout the night with things. And one of them is selling tickets for the bucket raffle. People would much rather buy a raffle ticket from one of these young athletes than they would want to buy them from Andy or you or I, you know.
Yes, so, they would. Hard to say no to those youngsters.
Yeah, I know it. And they do a really great job. They help with things, and it helps me give you a chance to other things that are going on. They help out. We have free bowling that night for the young less than, let's say, 10-year-olds, you know, and all the athletes help there with as far as getting that set up. You know, so like I said before, this is our biggest fundraiser of the year. And this helps fund not only football, but funds a lot of the athletics throughout the school. We try to make sure that the funds that are raised, all of the funds go back into some way to support the athletes. It's either through weight training equipment or, like Andy said, assistance with uniforms or anything. It's gotten to be throughout for every school district, as you see in your line of work with all the referendums that are out there. Somehow you have to come up with creative ways to support people within the district. And this is one of those ways. And the other thing that I think that's neat about what the Booster Clubs that helps, you know, enlighten people and then broaden their horizon a little bit, is we get a lot. One of our things that we try to do is get a lot of the athletes when they're not in season to come and help at some of the events. You know, as far as that concession stands, we've done a nice job the last several years at working with the school district, helping at some of the big tournaments they have, running concession stands. And we try to get a lot of the athletes in there to help sell this stuff in the concession stands too. And there's another case again, you know, I'd rather buy my hot dog from that young athlete than buying it from someone else, you know. So those things have worked out well. And before I get too far away from this. We really want to thank a lot of the sponsors that have helped donate items for this silent auction this Saturday, because without their support and their commitment in this community of Richland Center to help, you know, the athletic programs and help all the other things, you know, and you got to give them a lot of credit, because with the systems that we have today and everybody, you know, always looking for some sort of assistance, you know, they get really a lot of requests for donations and stuff. And so you have to really be appreciative for the stuff that they do help you with, because it really keeps the community going in a very successful manner.
You and I are history guys, and some more history is going to be talked about this weekend at Sting Night, but maybe you could shed a little light on who's going into the Hall of Fame officially this year.
Well, that's where we got to get to these five honorees here, and we'll talk about the last one last, because it's kind of a unique thing that we're doing. But the first one I'm going to mention, and he goes back to the year 1956, where he came to this school district. His name is Richard Newman, but a lot of people always called him Dick Newman. You know, and so excited about him. He had a 35-year career here at Richland Center. I want to mention, first of all, one of the first things he wrote on the sheet he sent back to him, he really wishes his wife, Jan, was going to be here to watch him celebrate in this. But you know, he has to be a fairly special individual when four people nominated him for the Hall of Fame.
Oh, goodness. That's,
you know,
awesome.
And you look at all the things that he's done. His is more of an idea of a contributor. You know, he's worked, started here, came, and he coached at one of the unique things that a lot of people don't remember. Richland Center had a boys volleyball team way back in the 50s and 60s. It had to be more like the 60s, I would say. And they were actually even second place at the sectional tournament and were like one game away from going to the state tournament, you know. So a lot of people remember Dick Newman, and especially more so than anything is that, you know, he helped with set up the color guard at Richland Center High School, and just all the places they went, you know. And I could probably sit here and talk, and you can see I have like 5-6 pages that Dick sent to me, and plus of the two nominations. Just a lot of things that he's done here in the Richland Center community. So we look for him to come into the Hall of Fame, excuse me, this year. Our second inductee goes back again to somebody that was involved with my school years. He was on several football teams that I was on, and, you know, just overall, probably remembered, first of all, as an athlete, and then you're going to see this overwhelming theme that we talk about several of these people that are getting in, and that's Bruce Wilson. Tremendous athletic career, and then went into coaching, and had a, you know, I think he has a lot of pride in that coaching career, because he coached with, you know, Hall of Fame coaches like Vitus Ripp and Jim Harris, and you know, just all the success he had there and the awards he had there, you know, Assistant Coach of the Year in the state of Wisconsin and other things like that. You know, had the pleasure of playing football with him my senior year, and just done a lot here in the Richland Center School District.
Indeed.
The pleasure of being coached by him.
What's that?
I had the pleasure of being coached by him, too. Bruce Wilson was my high school coach. He was our offensive line guy. So just a wealth of knowledge and able to really kind of help turn our program around in the early 2000s. So, you know, I mean, even myself, I'm indebted to the work that he's done with our athletic community. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well said. Because his playing days were only, you know, 2 or 3 years, you know, in high school, but long remembered as a coach here in the district.
Yes,
by,
you know,
many generations, actually. Absolutely. Who else?
And that'll lead us right into the next guy. It's kind of the same example, you know. We talked about Bruce graduating from the class of 75. Well, Greg Vitesnik graduated from the class of 1982. Very good athlete in high school, very successful, you know, did things, placed in conference tournaments, especially in track. And track was the one thing we'll just mention right off. That became, later in his life, became a passion, you know, of what he wanted to do. And he said he got approached, in discussions with him, too. As Greg said, all of a sudden he got approached by someone on the track team, said, well, you were a pole vaulter once. How would you like to come in and start help and, you know, coach our pole vaulters, you know? And the next is kind of after that is history, you know. I look at the, it's stated here in his thing, you know, that he over the years, Greg has coached so many athletes, and probably the two that are best that he has the most pride in is his two children, Danielle and Garrett, who are state champions. You know, but you look at his resume, you know, he's coached eight people who placed 17 times in the division state meets, with resulting in three first places, five second places, two third places, three fourth places, one fifth place, one ninth, one tenth, and one 13th. You know, and he also had the pleasure of coaching, being part of the track team that won the state title in 2007. Mm-hmm. And just how his career went and his love for the sport went, even when his son Garrett went on to college, they got to a year where they needed a pole vault coach. And so he decided to go over there and help out, and he led them to a Horizon League indoor and outdoor pole vaulting title. So Greg Vitesnik would be our third inductee.
Yeah, really helped Richland Center dominate in that particular event through those track meets through those years. So
you bet. And then the other thing you have to mention right away about Vitesniks is just, again, another business within the area that has been tremendously as far as supporting the community and supporting athletics within the Richland Center and actually the Richland County area. They've done a lot of great things there, you know. So Greg's one of those. We have our several different categories of having a athlete, a coach, and now a super supporter. You know, Greg could have went in any one of those, but, you know, I think it's great of where he's going in more so as a coach. And we always let them write their own resumes of what they want to put on their plaque. And he went more that route, and it was more the route that the person who nominated him, you know, wanted to go to. So I think it's really great, and I think it's great that we, you know, show appreciation. And even like I said earlier with Dick Newman, you know, just you read his thing, and it'll take you a while to read it because he's just done so many things. But it's amazing that I found out, and I'll even mention his name, Ron Fruit was one of the people that nominated him. And Ron goes, you just really got to see all the things he's done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's no doubt about that. Yeah. And you get a set of wheels from Vitesnik from time to time for football, too, don't you, Coach?
We do every single year. All right, we get some kind of UTV, so we're thankful for that. I mean, otherwise, that hike is pretty far. We don't want to lug all our football equipment around. So they've been great to us. They've taken care of all of our needs, you know, with that UTV usage. So at some point, hopefully we can get our own, right? But for the foreseeable future, I mean, Garrett, Greg, all those guys at Vitesnik have just been awesome to work with.
Yeah, that's great. Who else is going in this year, Kirk?
I could probably this next one. I should probably pass it over to Andy there and let him introduce him because I think he's somewhat tied to Mr. Strang.
Might be related.
Yep, that's my uncle. I know growing up, I heard stories. I never got a chance to watch him compete, but just how much of a prolific athlete he was back in his day, you know, and he's just a very humble guy. You know, he's not going to brag about his achievements. And so I know that he feels extremely honored, you know, to be inducted into the Hall of Fame. I know Kirk's got a list of the accomplishments on hand there, but, you know, it means a lot, you know, to him. It means a lot to our family. I know my grandpa was a very, very strong supporter of just Hornet Athletics, you know, and he's no longer with us, but I know that he's super proud of just the effort, the work that his sons have done, you know, and then also his daughters, his supporters too. But it'll be a great night to really kind of support Uncle or my Uncle Brian that night for Hall of Fame night.
You have a list of accomplishments over there, Kirk?
Brian Strang, though. You better get his name in there,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, better. Uncle Brian.
Uncle Brian, yeah. I knew he was related. Well, it's actually his mom is the one who submitted the form, you know, so. It's just a list of this MVP, this conference all-star team, and honorable mention this, you know, three sports star, basketball, football, baseball, just all the honors he's achieved throughout his high school career. A 1983 graduate from Richland Center High School. But probably as Andy could tell you, some of the stuff that he's done afterwards, being successful in his in the business world, you know, there, he's got a bachelor's degree from the University of Platteville, but then he went on and got a PhD in nutritional science from the University of Madison in 1997. Just an extremely successful individual coming out of Richland Center High School, not only as an athlete, but also as a professional.
That was a big year in the spring of 83 because, you know, he graduated that year. They had a great year in spring sports as well, but it was capped off by a very successful track team.
Well, that's why that's kind of the other unique feature that we've started here. We talked about we've added the contributor in there as far as, you know, an event or another category, I should say. WRCO was one of the first to get in there as far as a contributor to high school athletics and sports. And we saw this in other high schools around the area as far as Hall of Fames, that they were recognizing teams. Wrestling started it a year or so ago by putting a team, they're the only team that qualified for the team tournament, they put them in. So we decided as far as the all-school Hall of Fame that we would put in a team this year. And what better team to start with, like you say, than the class or the 1983 state champions in Class B. They still had classes when we go back this far. The track team from Richland Center High School.
And are some of them coming back? Have you heard anybody say they were here?
We've got a really good response. Give a shout out to a few people. Jill Cohn, excuse me. I got to hear even a little shout out. Jill Stibby Cones, I better get that in there too. But not only was she a big part of this team and a big supporter in helping me get it organized with the team and getting some of the young ladies to come back, was that she was just running the Boston Marathon again here just recently, you know. So
she's still running.
She's still running. She's another one, like a couple other ladies that we have around town here that are still running. But her and Sarah Lau Olson really helped a lot as far as getting the other teammates notified, putting together, you know, what they wanted to have on the plaque and what they wanted to say and stuff. But they told me the other night when I was talking to them, they expect about 8 to 10 members of the team to come back. So that's really exciting.
That's great. Absolutely. And recognize them and their coach and the whole nine yards.
That's the other thing that's really cool, too. I think they right now they have like 3 or 4 of the coaches that are coming back. They wanted to even have Claire Haig, who was their head coach at that time, to be maybe more involved in the process and the program. But as we all know, and we wish him the best, Claire just had some recent health setbacks. And so we're hoping he's going to at least attend, you know, but we understand if he can't make it.
Indeed. Well, that's an awesome class there. And what time do you start with the Hall of Fame awards?
Well, that's better. We should get to that as far as, you know, what is the agenda for the night, mm-hmm. you know. The group has worked really hard on it, and it's not just myself, but a whole group of people involved with the Booster Club. And this is my chance to put the plug in for anybody who would really is, you know, like Andy said, you know, we're an open club. You know, we welcome all people, and these are the type of things we do, like Sting Night and several other things, and helping at athletic events and helping raise funds for the athletic groups within the district. But we need your assistance. We'd appreciate your assistance, you know. So come out, see what it's about here at Sting Night. It's at the Phoenix Center this Saturday. We get in there early Saturday morning, and we help set up with the good chance to put a pimp in here for Greg and Amy. This is their second year of sponsoring us there, and great host, you know, just great host. And it doesn't hurt that they have a few athletes there to help Andy and his crew out, mm-hmm. you know. And so going to lose one of them this year. Kind of, it's always pride to see that go on. But the doors will get the stuff set up there as far as the silent auction. So it'll be there early in the day. But the official doors opening is at 4 o'clock or 4:30, excuse me. But we've even asked our honorees to show up around 4. So we like to say, like Andy said, we like to get them there and we like to get them to mingle in the crowd. But the doors open at 4:30. Kids bowling starts at 5. The Phoenix Center is generous there. They donate about 4 lanes or so for the young children, kids, whatever, to bowl, and the athletes help them through the bowling process. Hall of Fame inductions, we're looking for them to start about 5:30. Whatever time that takes, we're anticipating, you know, 6:30 to maybe 7. And then what we do like to do then is we basically have a break. First of all, we end the $500 cash raffle that's going on for the night at that time. So then we throw the $500 out into the crowd to one person, and hopefully it gives them a chance to spend some of that. Plus then there's that break in there of about 30 minutes so that we can get some pictures taken with the Hall of Fame members and give them a chance to get pictures with their family and stuff. And then after that, then we will end the silent auction at that time, and we'll turn the night over to Andy and his crew, and they'll start with the signing night.
All right. Sounds good. And let's talk about that a little bit. Andy, who's going to be signing from Richland Center High School this year?
Well, this year we've got three kids, two that will be in attendance on Saturday's festivities. The first is going to be Tyler Woodman. You know, Tyler Woodman is going to compete for Drake University in Des Moines, Iowa. Now, Tyler has put himself in a position to really do well. I know the high school experience probably wasn't the best, some injuries along the way, right? But this kid is really, really tenacious in terms of how he works and puts himself in a position to have success. And so he was very active, you know, talking to a lot of different universities. And so Drake saw his size. They had some questions for me, you know, and they're like, hey, we're going to take a shot on this kid. We think that he's got a lot of potential, you know, and it's great that, I mean, he's going to go into that opportunity healthy going forward here. And Tyler's going to be our first Division I FCS signee that we've had in the last probably 5-6 years or so. Would like to see him stay in the state of Wisconsin, but hey, you go where opportunities are going to present themselves. So he'll take his talents down to Drake in Des Moines. The second will be a familiar name, Ethan Haiti. Ethan Haiti is going to go to Mount Vernon, Iowa, and compete for Cornell College. He's going to go for wrestling, you know. So Ethan has a very, very storied career, as we know, you know, and so it's nice to see him get that opportunity to go to the Mecca for wrestling, you know. Mm-hmm. No disrespect to the state of Wisconsin, but Iowa loves their wrestlers. So it'll be great to see him compete in a very competitive division. And then the last one is a new one that we haven't seen before, and this is Keegan Cooley. And Keegan Cooley, again, is going to go to the state of Iowa. He's going to go to Fort Dodge and attend Iowa Central, and he's going to go for rodeo, you know. And so that's a JUCO school, and it's great that we're having a bunch of different athletes that have diverse skill sets that get the opportunity to kind of share at that level. So I know that Keegan won't be there on Saturday because he has a rodeo. So I think they're all over the place in the state of Wisconsin, throughout the Midwest, you know, and doing just a lot of that stuff. So it's really kind of cool that we've got a football kid, a wrestler, you know, and then a rodeo kid as well. And what's really cool about these kids, you know, just this year, you know, in years past, is that the state of college athletics looks totally different with the transfer portal, you know, and so it's really hard to get the attention of colleges, right, you know, post-COVID. Because there's a lot of bouncing around that happens at the collegiate level. So, I mean, just to have the opportunity to walk on or participate, you know, is a testament to their ability as athletes. And it's always cool that, you know, we have these kids that come from, you know, small town America in Richland Center, right, and are able to kind of throw their name in the ring, you know, and perform well with the best of them from all over the country.
You had a big group go in last year, sign on the dotted line, didn't you?
Yeah, we had six kids last year, five of which stayed in the state of Wisconsin. And what's kind of cool is that this is kind of growing. So last year, I think five of these individuals were from Richland Center, but we also had Kaylee Peterson from Ithaca that went to Stevens Point. So it's kind of cool that these co-ops also were able to celebrate them. So doesn't matter where you are, right? If you represent Orange in some capacity, right, we want to make sure that we send you off right. So, yeah, five in the state of Wisconsin, one went to Illinois. And so we anticipate going forward that our numbers are going to continue to rise because, I mean, our athletes are just very committed to improving themselves, right, and just the overall teams at Richland Center High School as well.
You're going to have your players, some of your guys helping out, I'm guessing, behind the scenes then too?
Yep. The Booster Club does a wonderful job with organization. So they tell us where they need assistance, and we just got to crack the whip and get some guys there. So, yeah, so we've got a lot of representation from all sports, which is great, right? That's a unified approach from our overall student athletic community, that they're able to kind of support one another, support the youth, but also kind of celebrate the Hall of Fame folks as well.
It's a big night. Sting night coming up this weekend. And some of the silent auction items, Kirk, are very unique, aren't they?
Well, that's why I spend a little bit of time talking about them. Like you, I said to you, since you're the music man here throughout Richland County, is probably the biggest one. We've had support of Sleepy Hollow the last several years, offering us some concert tickets. And again, they came through really big this year for us, you know. And this year, after offering tickets like Luke Bryan and Tim McGraw, this year, Lainey Wilson tickets are going to be on the auction block on Saturday night there. So if you're interested, then I'll tell you right up front, the concert is this fall. I don't have the exact date right here in front of me, but it is out there on our Booster Club site on Facebook, where you can see all these items that we have there. And these tickets are great tickets. They're right down on the floor, like six rows back from the stage. So Lainey Wilson fans, make sure you get in there and bid off. And so that's a really cool feature. And then, like I said, a lot of our other local businesses are extremely generous. We have, we just mentioned Vitesnik's earlier. He gave a generator that's well worth the money. You know, and it's kind of one of those unique ones. And I got to be careful because my memory's bad at this age to remember all these people. But some of the huge donations, you know, and even just from some of the other businesses, you know, just supporting the with a donation, you know, this basket or that kind of basket, those all come in and all add up in the end to be great things there. And a lot of people say, you know, just like going to any silent auction, I like some go there just so I can buy something, you know. And so a lot of great items there. Like I said, this is our biggest fundraiser of the year. We'd really appreciate you showing up. A lot of the businesses, too, that maybe you won't see items from them, but they gave really nice cash donations. You know, Cardinal Glass down there gave a really nice cash donation plus a basket. You know, like I say, I'll probably get spanked for not mentioning everybody. But, you know, a lot of good donations there. And the other thing I want to come back again, because that's kind of been Andy's, my theme right from the beginning with our discussion here today. The night is really all about the community celebrating Richland Center Athletics and the chance to sit there. We get as many athletes, a lot of the athletes, we've even tried this year to maybe not keep them as busy because we really like our athletes mingling in the crowd, mingling with the Hall of Fame people, and mingling with the audience that's there that night, so that they can see that these young people are some of the best human beings that you ever want to be around. And I always said when people ask me, you know, what I missed about leaving officiating, and one of the biggest things I told them was being around the athletes, because athletes are just like a lot of young adults in today's society. They're some of the best people you want to be around.
Yeah, we've talked about that before, Coach. You know, a lot of people will say, well, kids these days are just, they're in their phones, you know, but that's kind of an unfair stereotype. There are a lot of good kids.
Oh, no question. Absolutely. You know, and I think that we're kind of seeing kids come out of that a little bit. They're looking for a belonging, you know, they're looking for really quality human connections. And so, you know, these kids realize that athletics today are not just a three-season commitment, right? It's a year-long commitment. And so it's fun to kind of see kids where they're at, right? Especially with off-season commitment, you know, with weightlifting and whatnot, and just see them continue to make progress and see the benefits of just kind of investing in themselves and their ability, you know. And then along the way, I know that we have a lot of great coaches within our athletic community, you know, that really kind of talk about it's not just about athletic performance, but it's also about representing Richland Center to the best of your ability, right? And kind of having that community-minded focus, you know, when they get the chance to represent RC. So a lot of kids have taken that to heart. And so these kids are ambassadors, you know, at the local level, at the state level, and then also at the national level. And so it's kind of cool to see what the community has done, right, and instilled those values and how kids have really embraced those. So, yeah, I'll be the first to push back and say kids today are great kids. They're hardworking kids, you know, and like Kirk said, the athletes are extremely invested with time, you know, with money, you know, and effort. There's a lot of stuff that happens behind the scenes that people don't see. They see the performance, right? And so I think the state of just Hornet Athletics now is on the rise. It's really exciting to be a part of.
Some of the kids that will be there working, maybe someday will be honored at a future Sting night down the road.
Yeah, we hope so. You know, there's a lot of youth, you know, that kind of come and they attend. And so I think when they sit there and they watch that, there's always that idea, could that be me? You know, and so we hope that seed is planted, right, and their efforts in the off season pay off. And so they're able to sit down there and celebrate that. You know, the recruiting process is a fun process to be part of. There's a lot of people that are kind of vying for your talent, you know, and so you kind of get courted. You're the belle of the ball, you know, but when they make that decision, you know, now it's exciting to kind of see them prepare for what future looks like, you know, as they decide, okay, I'm going here, I'm going to do my best, you know, and just kind of watch that unfold. It's really neat.
One of the most important nights of the year for Hornet Athletics, I think. Kirk, anything you want to add today?
Well, I think it's, you know, Andy mentioned there too, you know, that's one of the things we've always tried to do too, is involve some activities for the younger kids, you know, the less than high school age. And we've always done a good job of that too with a Sting Night in the last couple of years now, or this year and last year, the bowling aspect of it. And there's another, we bring in a different age group and we let them intermingle with the high school students plus the adults and everything else. So it's exposure is probably the biggest recruiting tool and benefit tool that you can do for any athletic program, is exposure and the time to understand that all these coaches and all these athletes and all these fans, they really are, if they all work together, that's what leads to the success of any program.
No doubt about it. Coach, anything else you'd like to add today?
Yeah, I think the only thing that I would add is when it comes to how Richland Center is seen kind of in different circles, it's very positive. You know, I get the chance to talk with a lot of different officials, you know, about our kids, right, our fans, you know, our community, and they have positive things to say. And so I know that doesn't happen everywhere, you know, and so it's nice to see that that is a strong suit that that center brings to the table when our kids represent.
Awesome. Sting Night coming up at the Phoenix Center this week, the Hall of Fame and College Signing Night. Don't miss it. Silent auction, free kids bowling, $500 bucket raffle. You have a kissing booth, Kurt, or not?
I don't know. Unless Tiffany is going to volunteer for that.
I know I'm not going to volunteer for that.
Now I threw her under the bus.
A lot of things going on and a lot of fun and some very deserving folks again. Brian Strang, Bruce Wilson, Greg Bateznik, Richard Dick Newman, and the 1983 Class B State Champion Girls Track Team officially going into the Richland Center Hall of Fame.
Life is filled with decisions, some required and some optional. And then there are decisions we make by making no decision at all. I'm Nick Hodge of the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service in Richland Center in Muscadet. We encourage you to gift yourself and your loved ones by making the decision to plan your final wishes. Decide today to make that decision. We'll be glad to support and help you at the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service. You can start that journey at PrattFuneralService.com.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
This is Paul from Prescription Center. For over 40 years, we have been a trusted member of the health care of our community. We've always been here for everyone. From West Seminary Street, where it all started, to the hospital, and now to Saxonville Road, we have provided honest advice, low prices, and with the help of many of our friends, a pay-it-forward account to help those that can't afford their medication. We are humbled by the trust we have earned. We have always made every effort to make pharmacy affordable to all. We accept all insurances because you deserve to have your plan honored. The only area pharmacy to take TRICARE and CHAMP VA. What better way to say thank you to those who served? We thank all for their trust. If you want this type of service, let us be your pharmacy of choice.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
The trees on your land are a valuable asset, and keeping them properly managed is a big responsibility. The staff at Meister Log & Lumber has been buying logs and standing timber in southwest Wisconsin since 1936. Meister's professional forest management team will help you meet your timber's potential. A win-win for all, as landowners receive green for the logs and Mother Nature stays green as well. Give professional timber manager Toby Witkowski a call at Meister Log & Lumber, 608-434-4413.
Joining us at WRCO, Mike Braninger, Dawn Barrett, and Robin Cosgrove. They're talking about an upcoming event. And Mike, we'll start with you, the Midwest Regional Hub. What can you tell us about?
Midwest Regional Hub is about a two-year-old organization. It's loosely joined together church leaders, marketplace leaders, people that are interested in, you know, serving Jesus and trying to make their community better places. It draws mostly from Southwest, South Central Wisconsin so far, but plans to expand beyond that. So there's a meeting, some type of meeting in the Midwest Regional Hub about every month to month and a half. So it's been going for a while and good response from it. So that's been really good.
Sounds like you're proud to be a part of it.
Yeah, I'm really happy about what's happening with it. And a lot of people are interested because we're in changing times. That's just, I mean, almost anybody could see that. It's just changing times for businesses, for church, for communities, for the government. And in the changing times, people are looking for new ways to connect, make things work. And that's a lot of what the regional hub is about, supporting each other, learning what values we have that we can take to other places and help them with. So it's really a good effort.
And you're calling this Hub Fest, is that correct?
This is Hub Fest, the event coming up this weekend, which of course is a takeoff from the Midwest Regional Hub. So the Hub Fest is just, you might call it a celebration, but it's really a kind of a conference event where we've got some special speakers and efforts that are going to take place that will hopefully help everyone who attends the Hub Fest.
We don't want people to think it's in Hub City, right? Where's it going to be located?
We didn't even think about that. Well, we actually had it booked in Wisconsin Dells because, you know, they've got the interstate, lots of access. And after we had it booked for a long time, they notified us that the facility we were renting was not going to be renovated in time for us to get in there. So we had to do a quick change around, and it's now at Newhouse Richland here in town at the church. So it wasn't intended to be there, but that's where it is now, so people can come out to Newhouse and join the Hub Fest.
Awesome. Dawn, can you tell us a little bit more about the specifics?
Absolutely. So I'm going to start with the agenda. On Friday night, we open registration at 5 o'clock. Our vendor hall will also be open. And the vendors are people who have marketplace ministries. Some will have some book sales. We'll have different organizations throughout the community that are coming there, and they're showing us what they do. What they do in the community. Some of them have things that they sell. Some of them have programs. So we're excited about that. After registration takes place and we do some get together in our main auditorium, we'll do some worship. And then our first speaker is Dave Geary. And Dave Geary has many, many years as an industry partner. And I'm going to say that in that way because he's worked for more than 40 years he's the owner of the Princeton Clubs in Madison. And he also has a new business that he's working in that's about salt. And I think we're going to learn a little bit more about that. He has a book. He's bringing 200 books that he's giving one to every single conference attendee. And I just am interested to hear what he has to say because he unlocks what we don't understand about the connection between business and the kingdom of God. And he's very gifted, so we're excited about that. The next day, we have a gentleman who's coming. His name is Craig Miller. He lives in Michigan, but he travels all over. And he has spent 40-some years also as a clinical counselor. And he works with people who have had trauma in their lives. And as a result of the trauma, there are situations that people need help recovering from. And he has a deep ministry in this area. He also, as a result of working with people with trauma, they find themselves healed and set free in many ways. And some of these healings are physical healings. So he's speaking most of the day on Saturday. Mike's going to tell you a little bit more about him. And then at the end of the day, Mike is going to be sharing his heart yet again about the Midwest Regional Hub and what this means and how people can engage.
Lots of things there. And the two people that you talked about, the knowledge they bring and the first gentleman you talked about, talk about a business sense with the businesses that he owns. That's very impressive.
Absolutely. I've heard him speak a few times, and I understand that he isn't exactly prepped for what he's going to say when he goes on stage, but he receives the message once he gets on stage. So it's always been amazing every time I've heard him speak, and he really drives it home. But so it'll be interesting to see what he has to say to us and to this group that's gathering that is both from the marketplace and from the ministry.
This is an event, Robin. It's nice that you don't have to travel. I mean, it's right here in Richland Center, and that works out pretty well for you, doesn't it?
Well, that works out well for me.
A lot of work,
and
though,
the people that live here, but this is the Midwest regional hub that we're talking about. And Mike's original vision of that was he saw a vision, and maybe Mike would be better to tell it, but he saw a map where there were lights in different places, but there was a lot of darkness in between. And he was told to build bridges between the lights. And so we've been going from community to community in this region, building relationships with other people to make a way, actually building bridges for resources, human resources, natural resources, whatever resources, like this Dave Geary guy and Craig Miller are crossing bridges to come and bring resources to us that we don't have yet. And we're going to be going and doing that in other places. So yes, it is easy for us that live here, but even the vendors, some of them might not be from Richland Center. So it's a good place to come and start mingling, meeting people. If you're a little bit afraid of that, come find me. I'll help you do that.
Yeah, you'd be good at that.
Navigate your way through meeting new people.
Right, exactly. So can people find out more online? Do you have some sources there where people can check that out?
I'm sure we do.
Any? Yes, we do. We have a Facebook page and a website. Sorry. So all of that information is there as well. And along with the link to register, this event is scheduled on Eventbrite. So if anyone goes to Eventbrite, looks up Midwest Regional Hub, or if you look up HubFest 2025, you'll be able to buy tickets there.
Okay. Tickets in advance, can they get them at the door?
Absolutely can get them at the door, and in advance is great as well.
That way you can kind of plan, know how many to plan for. Then.
That's right.
Mike, you were on not too long ago, and you and I were talking about building bridges, kind of the same subject, but if you want to make a difference, it kind of starts locally and then branches out, doesn't it?
Right. The relational building is the key in most things. Just putting information out to people. People are flooded with information. People are flooded with social media. But when we actually communicate with people face-to-face, and that's what the Midwest Regional Hub has been about, and that's what HubFest is about, communicating face-to-face, intersecting with people, and seeing who they are, what they're made of, how we can connect and make things better. And that's a lot of what's going on with HubFest, too, although Craig Miller, the main speaker there, really specializes in helping people get beyond trauma in their lives. Everybody's experienced some measure of trauma in their lives. So he is an expert at this, and as well as a number of other things. He's written several books, but there's one called Breaking Emotional Barriers to Healing, Understanding the Mind-Body Connection to Your Illness. And so anybody who is struggling with something in that area, you know, a physical illness, a mind illness, something spiritual in their lives, he is as good as anybody I've seen, and I've seen a lot.
Yeah. So he talks, but I'm guessing it's interactive.
It is interactive. Yeah. It's a conference workshop, you might say. So people are actually involved, and we call it hands-on. They're probably not going to actually do anything with their hands, but they'll have interaction with each other. So there will be opportunity for people to practice what he's teaching, which will be really beneficial for everybody.
And we talked about vendors, too. There will be quite a few vendors there as well.
So, yeah, those are what we call marketplace people, but mostly businesses that are setting up tables and just kind of saying, this is who we are, this is what we offer, want to make ourselves known and what we have available made known to people. There will be a number of vendors there. There will be book tables where there's books for sale by the different authors that are there, including me. So there will be lots of opportunities for that to go on. And by the way, the fee for the conference includes two meals, is it, Dawn?
It is. Mm-hmm. So doors open on Friday night at 5 o'clock for registration and the vendor hall. And then we get started a little bit later in that evening.
About 6 o'clock, the presentation starts. But on Saturday, the doors open at 7:30 at Newhouse Richland, and there's breakfast available. It's a charcuterie-style breakfast. You won't go away disappointed. We are working with people who are gluten-free or vegetarian or neither of those. And then in the afternoon, we do have a lunch that's prepared, a full-served lunch as well. We're happy to provide that with the price of a ticket.
Yeah, it's a good deal. I mean, for what you get, it sounds like you get a lot.
Absolutely. So. Yeah. Our job is to take care of everyone who comes.
Yeah, this is not grasshoppers and honey for lunch. This is a this is a good meal that people are going to get included in. And you can easily spend quite a bit of money on a good meal, but they get the whole conference plus those two meals, so it's a pretty great deal.
How many people are we talking? I mean, in the past, what have you seen, Mike?
Yeah, so we're probably going to have 200-plus people at the conference, which is a comfortable size for us. We could take more if there's more that show up at the door. We'd probably go up to maybe 300 and then kind of cut it off there. But, yeah, they're coming from all over the area, and so it's a little bit fluid because we're still accepting registrations at the door. That's what we're expecting, to maybe 300 people.
What is age appropriate?
Okay, that's a pretty good question, because a lot of times, kind of church-related events, people want to bring little children with them, and there's an expectation there's a nursery. We do not provide nursery services. They really need to find other arrangements for that. But the people who would really benefit from it are probably, I'm saying, 14 years on up. You know, until they're near the grave. But he is able to really interact with any of those age groups.
Yeah, I think it's an important thing, a good thing for the community as well, isn't it? Makes Richland Center look pretty good.
It is. It's tremendous. And there will be people coming from all over the region here for this event on Friday. And it makes Richland Center look good, but also the people that have this taking place in their lives are going to be healthier and better when they're done than they were when they began. So that's good for any community to have.
Robin, even if one person is helped or moved by this, you've done a good job, right?
Absolutely. And I want to tell you that actually I have been a person that's been helped. When Craig Miller comes into town, he prepares a prayer team ahead of time. And we had a Zoom meeting with him last Tuesday. And after the training, he asked, does anyone want to be healed? And I, like, jumped to the front of the line and said, I do. Because reading his book, I realized that there was probably a connection with either emotion or trauma or something, and the pain in my stomach that I had for years. So I raised my hand, and I apologized to everyone. You know, I'm sorry I got in front of you, but I want this thing gone. And Craig just, it only maybe took, what, 10 minutes, Dawn? Dawn was on that Zoom call.
Maybe less.
Maybe less, 5 minutes. And the knot that I had in my stomach since I was probably 8 years old or earlier, I could not remember my life without it. Through the series of just directions that Craig was giving me and my faith, that pit, that ball that was in my stomach and the pain is gone, and basically feels like it's draining out of my body somehow. And I've been able to eat things that I haven't been able to eat for a long time. Or when I do, I suffer a really bad stomach ache. But the pain had been there forever from what I could remember. And that's gone now. So.
And that was over Zoom.
That was over Zoom.
Right.
Yes.
So in person, I would think, would even be
greater.
Effective, right?
Perhaps, yes. So if people have suffered for years and years of something, I encourage them to come. Mm-hmm. Come at least on Saturday, if not the whole conference. And he'll also be at our church on Sunday speaking. So anyone that would like to just come for that day, please do.
Yeah, a lot of us have suffered through trauma sometimes, I think, so far back that you don't even realize it.
Exactly,
right?
Exactly. And everyone has suffered some sort of a trauma in their life, every single person. And what we don't do is we don't think about the trauma as a child building up and creating other illnesses in us. And that's the thing that I think Craig will be talking about, is things that have happened that have broken our soul or our spirit that have actually attached to a place in our body that is now in pain or suffering or has presented an illness, and we can be set free from those things.
Yeah, you're a little light in your steps today then, mm-hmm. too, aren't you, as a result?
Yes, because I got to eat bread, I can't always eat bread. It's a red letter day for me.
Absolutely. And I think from the business standpoint, too, Dawn, I think, again, somebody that operates Princeton clubs, getting the body healthy is another big step, and it sounds like that's where he started, right?
Absolutely. He has a great story of where he started. And when he was a young man, about college age, he was with a group of people all in the same church, all in the same large group of young people, and he felt so much on the outside because he wasn't going into full-term ministry because he was called to business. And he didn't understand. He always felt like he was a little bit on the outside until God helped him understand that your business is your ministry. So he has been blessed in every way in business, and he's so willing to share that, but certainly we see the hand of God blessing him financially and in all aspects of the business realm, and he has something truly to share with us. And he wants to let people know that there really is no separation between what you're called to do if you do it as unto the Lord and find out what it is God wants from us, and then go and do that with all your heart.
I know you want people there for the whole weekend, but let's say somebody can only make it Saturday. Is that possible as well?
Oh, sure. We welcome anyone who wants to come and for any part of that as well.
Great. Mike, anything else you'd like to add today?
I'd just like to say I actually saw Craig Miller working with people in Chicago about a year and a half ago. I was there at one of the conferences, and it was so amazing to me what I saw, that people were being healed from these traumas. So people, if you've got trauma in your life, come to this